Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 11th, 2020. Wow, ever closer to Christmas Day. Christmas time's a-coming. I love our opening song. In fact, that'll play through Christmas Day. And then I transition into Joy to the World, the Lord is come. And then we go back to we're glad you're here into the new year. In fact, I was looking at the calendar, Jason, and because of our special programming next week, and then I think our special programming Christmas week, you'll have 2 weeks off. But then January 1st, 2021, it's a Friday, so you'll be my first guest in the new year. So technically 3 weeks from today, it'll be January 1st. Wow.
I'm pretty sure everybody's waiting for January 1st.
Yeah, everything normalizes that first day. Everything's back to normal. We'll have our vaccine shots. Everything will be back opened. Everything will just be wonderful, right?
It'll be like the end of the Grinch Stole Christmas where all of a sudden they're singing in Whoville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or it's like the Charlie Brown thing. They're all seated at the table and everyone's happy.
Right. It'll be dramatically different. 2021, we can't wait till you're here, but we also shouldn't be shocked if maybe it's kind of a little more of the same.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not get our hopes up too much. But this is the season of hope. It's the season we're mindful mm-hmm. of our Lord Jesus Christ, his coming, his birth. And like you said, I think I've mentioned this on Wednesday and some other programs, but without the cross, without the reason for his coming, the fact that God, Emmanuel, became man, fully God, accomplished the work on this earth, went to the cross to pay for our sins so that we could have an eternal life with him. I mean, you can't celebrate Christmas without being mindful of the cross. And it kind of seems weird, and I said this on Wednesday, to be entertaining and talking and thinking about the cross, but it's the pivotal point in history. We needed his birth and him to come and show us the Father and to bring healing and hope to the world. But because of the cross and the payment of our sins, we can especially celebrate this season because our Redeemer lives and he will be returning. And there will be a time where there's no more pain or heartache or suffering. And we'll spend an eternity with him in heaven. But you have to have that twofold message. Yes, there is the cross, and it's a hard place to go when you think about his suffering and the agony and the punishment he took and being separate from the Father and all that. But because of that price that he paid for us, dying for our sins, we can be especially hopeful and excited about this season. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, actually, I talked about this on Sunday morning at the church. You know, we looked at John 3:16, and John 3:16, of all the 31,000 verses in the Bible, it's been acknowledged as one of the most powerful and succinct declarations of the gospel that there is. Martin Luther called John 3:16 the heart of the Bible, the heart of the story of God, the gospel in miniature. And the interesting thing about John 3:16, and we have to put John 3:17 in there, is in John 3:16, it says that God sent his son. But in John 3:17, it says that God gave his son. The sending is the manger. The giving is the cross. And when Jesus is confronted with telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3, what is faith? What does this mean? Jesus says you must be born again. Jesus says the reason that I am born into the world is so that you can be born again. And therefore, we can't disassociate the manger, the cradle, from the cross. In fact, when Jesus stood before Pilate on the eve of his execution and his crucifixion, what did he say? He said to Pilate, for this reason I was born into the world. This very reason. And so God did not send Jesus into the world and then all of a sudden go, oh yeah, you know, maybe we need to do the cross. That would be a really good idea. God knew that Jesus was coming into the world to die for the world. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was smitten and he was stricken and he was afflicted. God knew exactly what was going to happen and exactly what was required and needed to atone for the sin of man. And so therefore, when we come into Christmas, we need to remember the cross. In fact, I challenged folks in the church, and somebody actually took me up on the challenge. I said, those of you who have manger displays, who have nativities in the front of your house, I would challenge you to put a cross behind it. So that when somebody asks you why you did that, you can tell them the whole story. Not just the story, because what I think what subtly happens is we treat Christmas as though Jesus has never come before. You know, we say, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming. And we use the buildup of Advent to do that. In fact, this year, I have purposely been using the language that Advent is preparing us for the remembrance of the gift of Christ coming. Not that Christ is coming. Christ has already come. We are the ones now who anticipate his second coming, his glorious return. But I think what happens in a lot of places is we treat Advent as this run into Christmas, and we use the kind of language that sounds as though Jesus hasn't come and we're anticipating his coming. We're anticipating his coming. No, he's already come. But when we treat it as though we're anticipating his coming as though it was the first time, then we clearly shove off the message of the cross. We don't talk about that because we want to sit in this glorious coming. Oh, we're at the manger. Oh, no. The manger had a purpose. That was the vehicle to bring Christ into the world in humility. But it was also a picture of how Christ would leave the world in humility upon the cross. And so we can't disassociate those two things. And to do that would be to negate the strength and force, humility, that God sent his son into the world, in the ways that God sent his son into the world. And so we should never take those two and separate those two. Just as we should never treat Easter as though Easter is like one day of the year. You know, one of the things I often say on Easter Sunday is that this is the day when we remember the resurrection, but we should live in the strength and power of the resurrection every single day. We should live as though we've been to the tomb every day, and we declare with all of our heart, soul, and might that it is indeed empty. We have seen it, and he is not there. He's risen just as he said he would. And so one of the things that we have to really, I think, be careful of is this kind of Christmas message that doesn't have the cross as the center of it. I believe that that's hard, actually, for us to do, right? Because when we think about the manger and we think about this moment, we think about silent night, holy night, and this beautiful baby, you know, God's son born into the manger. It's hard to look at that baby and believe that God is willingly sending that baby as a sacrifice. But yet that is exactly what God is doing. See, I think we do all the things that I just mentioned because in our humanity, we're trying to somehow wrangle what God has done to a level that we can best understand. And when you look at a baby, it has to confound you that that baby is being offered as a living sacrifice for sinful men. But that's exactly what is happening. And so I agree with you 100%. We have to be very careful, and I think we have to be very cognizant because Christmas is not just the time of that we tell the story of the incarnation. Christmas is yet again a great opportunity for us to tell the whole story. And think about the words that we use at Christmas time. We use the words like joy and peace and hope. Those are used by culture as kind of Christmas axioms, and joy and peace and hope. And yet the joy that we have comes because God sent Christ into the world as a living sacrifice to die for the sins of men. We have a hope that abounds because Christ died and rose again and went to heaven, and we now abound in hope because we have the Holy Spirit. We have peace, not just peace in the midst of trouble and strife right now, but we have peace with God because of what Christ did. And so those words that we kind of use to define this season of the year are words that are owned by the actions of God. They're owned by what God did. And we have to be careful to try and wrangle what God did down to our own ability to understand, because God did something that confounds us all, that he offered up his only son, that baby in a manger who came to die for the sins of men, to die for the worst of the, I mean, think of the worst person right now, the person that you dislike the most. Christ died for that person. And that's hard to think about. That's hard to wrap your head around. Because God isn't us. God doesn't do things the way that we do things. In fact, the greatest problem that the religious elite and the people of Jesus' day had with Jesus is that he didn't fit their idea of what the coming king was supposed to look like. And yet God said way back in Deuteronomy, I believe it's 17, he said, the king whom I will choose. And then even in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people say, give us a king like the rest of the nations. And Samuel doesn't know what to do, so he goes to God because he's a faithful man. He goes to God and he prays to God. And God says, listen, tell them that I'll give them an earthly king if they want one. But here's the deal. He's going to be a taker, not a giver. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one who desires to be served, not one who is going to serve. Let them know that. And so Samuel goes back and he tells the people that. And the people go, we don't care. Give us an earthly king.
Yeah.
And yet, what do we see when God sends his king, when God sends the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is not a taker. He's a giver. He gives his own life as ransom for the sins of men. He said himself in his own words, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus Christ is the opposite of every earthly king. And yet still in our humanity, what do? We beat the drum for the earthly king.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes, too, if we get so caught up with the baby in the manger, it's such a fun story, an innocent story, but we can kind of manage it. Oh, we know how to take care of a baby, and we're not dealing with the reality, and we have them in this, like, box. We can contain it. We can manage it. Instead, as Jesus grew and taught and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, if, you know, you'll have to carry your own crosses to follow me. You'll have to forsake this, your family members, your career, your position in life to be my disciple. You're going to have to serve. And I think sometimes in this Christmas story, we keep it pretty sanitary and just like, oh, it's a wonderful story. The reality is it leads to the cross, and we have to kind of accept both at the same time.
Right, and God didn't give his son without full knowledge of what awaited him on earth and what it was going to do for us.
Yeah.
God knew those things, and God couldn't have showed a greater example of love than sending his only son as an atoning sacrifice for us. But listen, Jesus could not have shown a greater example of love than dying for us. And if it were not for that love, there would not have been salvation. Salvation couldn't have been accomplished without God's love being poured out and without the pouring out of his son's blood.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, we couldn't love without that great demonstration of love, right? God demonstrates his love like this, that while we were still sinners, Christ came into the world, he lived, and he died for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other things when I gave this message, I said, I wonder if maybe we ought to read the Christmas story, you know, Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, and then go to the end of Luke and read what happens. Read about that day on the cross. Read about what happened as that baby who was in the manger grew and resolutely set his heart towards Jerusalem and went there to do the mission that he was sent to earth to do. Because Jesus was always pointed towards the cross. Jesus was never like, oh, Father, you know, I don't really want to do that. I think in his humanity, we see in the garden where there is a moment where Jesus says, listen, this is going to be hard and this is going to be really tough. There is a weight to this that is beyond a human's ability to bear. And that's when we see the strength of Jesus in the Spirit and in his focus on doing what the Father said. And then he says, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Jesus, again, setting his eyes to the task at hand, the thing that he'd been called to do by the Father, sent by the Father to do. And as John 3:16 says, he was sent into the world because God so loved the world. But then John 3:17 says that God gave him up, mm-hmm. that God gave him to the cross because God knew what we needed. And God knew that we could not accomplish that on our own. And so, you know, one of the greatest gifts that we've received through Christmas is the work of the cross. And one of the gifts that we don't ever talk about at this time of the year is the work of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that it's funny that you would bring that up, Mark, at the beginning of this conversation, because that's something that's been on my mind and heart for the last number of weeks, is that we have this kind of, we set the cross aside. And Paul in the Bible tells us that we ought never set the cross aside. In fact, he says, I delivered to you what is of first importance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful not to set that aside for the sake of what sounds like a better story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus in the manger, meek and mild. Oh, my gosh, here come the three kings to bring him his gifts. Oh, this is so wonderful. you know, let's close the book and sing Silent Night together.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that was funny, because we did our Advent reading the other night, and we actually videoed it, because some people have asked us what we've done for Advent, and so we videoed it, posted on Facebook, and at the end of it, I said, hey, let's sing a song, and we launched into Joy to the World. And one of the things that you don't see on the video, because we just didn't know that it would be germane to, you know, be a blessing to others, is at the end of it, we all kind of looked at each other and said, hey, wait a second, Joy to the World is about his second coming.
Right.
Exactly. We should be singing that right now.
Yeah.
We should be singing that with the same kind of exuberance and strength that we are all singing, O come, Emmanuel, because our Emmanuel has come. And now we need to sing Joy to the World, because he will return.
Yeah, and I think that song, it has the lyrics, and it's always kind of, I always have to pause and think of Joy to the World, the Lord is come. And, you know, it seems like out of place, but, yeah, you sometimes say that, like, it's happened and it's going to happen, or, you know, it's kind of that he has come, the Lord has come, but he is, in fact, returning at some point in time.
Yeah, and we have to realize that. And the expectation that we feel right now and the expectation that we are set ourselves to during this Advent season is not an expectation of Jesus in the manger. The expectation that we set ourselves on right now is the expectation of him descending and that Mount of Olives cracking open, as Zephaniah says in 2, you know, in his glorious return where he will judge the living and the dead, when he will make all things new. You know, the end of the book of Revelation and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That is the thing that in Advent right now we have set our expectation and our eyes towards. And it is the remembrance of Christ's coming that gives us the encouragement and the perseverance and endurance to await his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if God was faithful in that, if God was faithful in pouring himself out, emptying himself of divinity in humility into the manger, then surely he will come in the strength of, you know, his glorious return. So we have to remember those things.
Yeah. I think it was last week, last Friday, when we talked about you as a family and extended family reading God's Word. And at one point, Samuel, your youngest son, I think Samuel 7, right?
Yep.
Yeah, was reading a passage, and it kind of dawned on you, or there was the impression like, wow, you were kind of caught up in the fact that your son, your precious son, you know, was reading this portion, and then you kind of identified God knew that his precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to suffer, and there was suffering ahead of him. And somehow you, like, connected with Samuel and the words that he was speaking, like, he is your prized son. Now, you love your, you know, your son Jacob and Molly and Abigail also, but how the scriptures just came alive, because God, in the same way, knew he was sending the Lord Jesus to suffer and to travail and prevail through this world, but for the greater good of us, for you and I, and for those listening, that salvation is being offered to us as we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just as this little baby boy in a manger.
Exactly, and what he will do. I mean, that's what's so powerful right now, you know, and I think I mentioned it last week. You know, we're making our way through the book of Isaiah, and the book of Isaiah is huge. So it takes us as a family to read it. It's going to, you know, take us a couple of weeks. So we're like waist deep in the book of Isaiah right now. And it's so amazing that the book of Isaiah heralds the coming of Christ. But in the same breath, the book of Isaiah also lets us know what will happen in his second coming. You know, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will be there also, and the little child will play with the adder. And, I mean, all these things that point us towards this kind of peace on earth, where these things that are all diametrically opposed will suddenly find a sense of peace in the new creation. And so it's really fascinating when you read the book of Isaiah and how Isaiah lays that out, that, of course, Isaiah foretells the coming of this son, but then Isaiah does not hold back telling us what will happen because of that, you know, in his glorious return. And so we need to remember those things. And some of that, you know, again, we need to read the whole of Scripture and understand all that Scripture says and all that Scripture is doing, and not disassociate one piece of Scripture from another simply because it seems more fitting or seasonal or good for the story. You know, we are, as a family, really focusing on trying to talk with our kids about the fact that Christmas and the cross are the same, that, you know, the greatest gift that was ever given was given at this time of the year. Hmm. You know, we didn't see the fulfillment of that gift. We didn't see it being unwrapped and got to open the box, you know, at this time of the year. But the gift was under the tree. We knew that it awaited us, and we had an anticipation of, like, what's in it? What's it going to do? How's it going to work out? I wonder, does it need batteries or what? You know, what's going to happen? And for us, that gift, the greatest gift ever, is the coming of Christ. But the coming of Christ had a purpose, and that was the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of all of us, that all of us could come near to God, that you, the radio listener, no matter who you are and how bad you've been and how far away you've been from God and how broken you've been and how off the rails your life has been, that there can indeed be peace with God through Christ, peace that comes by faith in your believing, in your getting down on your knees and you're declaring with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in doing that, you receive the gift that you could never have bought, you could never have afforded, and God knew that. That's why he gave it to you.
Yeah.
And he didn't give you out of what he had in excess. He gave you the overflow of the best that he had. He gave you his only son, Jesus, that whosoever might believe in him would have eternal life. And that whoever is listening right now, if you're listening right now and you happened upon this radio program and you're thinking, what are they talking about? If you didn't hear any of what we've talked about, this is what you do need to hear, that whoever you are right now and whatever you have done, you can come to the cross and you can declare with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you can receive salvation in his name, no other name, but his name alone. And that is the free gift of God that was given in this season that continues to give.
And that's that good news message that we have the privilege of proclaiming as followers of Jesus. And thank you, Pastor Jason. Hey, by the way, Merry Christmas. And January 1st, that'll be the next time we'll both be together. We'll continue with our study through the book of James in this new year. That'll be Friday, January 1st, 2021. Wow. Well, Merry Christmas, Pastor Jason. Merry Christmas,
Merry
listeners.
Christmas.
And keep listening. Lots of great programming and Christmas music in the days ahead, special music and teaching all next week. So we hope you can join us. And thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.